Thank you, Riley, very much for that. Riley is a sophomore in high school, and really God's using her in an incredible way. For those of you that come to CCV on a consistent basis, every year we try to be creative and also try to get the gospel message across in every way that we can. Probably the model passage for a woman, for a mother, is that which is found in Proverbs 31. A wife of noble character who can find. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She's clothed with strength and dignity and can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. She watches over the affairs of her household. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's incredible, talking about the character qualities that God desires in a godly woman and a godly mother. And so, in the past years, I've spoke on Mother's Day. A lot of times my wife has spoke on Mother's Day. And today, we decided that we would do something a little different. And I've asked some ladies from our church, from our staff, that really have different situations in life. And so, what I wanted to do was ask them some questions and have them share. And the prayer is that where you are in your stage in life, no matter where you are, that maybe you'll be able to relate to something that they're going to say, and you will go home and you'll be blessed because of that. So why don't you guys start, just kind of introduce yourself and share your situation in life. Cheryl, would you go first?
Hi, I'm Cheryl Tortia. I'm a single mom, and I have three daughters. One is out of the house, so I have two to go. 16 and 14-year-old, so there's a lot of drama usually at the house, which I don't do very well with, but I came out of corporate America. I worked at a Fortune 500 company for about 22 years, and I've been on staff. I oversee First Impressions for 13 years now.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Deddy Durr. I've been married to Greg for 16 years, and we have three boys. We have a 14-year-old just getting ready to go to high school, and then we have twins who are 12, so it's a busy place. I also came from corporate America, and I was a sales trainer for 10 years. Went home to have my kids, and then about 3 years ago came back to work here at CCV, working with the women's ministry, and now transitioning into the neighborhood ministry.
I'm Jamie Woldridge, and my husband is Ashley, and we've been married for 10 years, and we have three little girls, 1, 3, and 7, so you can start praying now. I started staying home actually just 3 years ago, and before that, I was a software engineer at Intel for about 10 years.
Hi, I'm Chris Simpson. I'm on staff here at CCV. I've been here for 5 years. I work with the neighborhood ministry. I'm married to Dan Simpson, one of our pastors here. We've been married this September 23 years, and my situation is a little different. Dan and I have struggled with infertility, and Dawn asked me to be a part of this panel for that reason.
My name is Sue Wilson, and I've been sleeping with the pastor for about 42 years. It's all legal, I promise. We have three grown children. They are all married. They're all in the ministry. And we have 11 grandchildren, ages from 14 down to 5. Just about one every year.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so you guys come from a lot of different perspectives. What did you learn from your mother? If you had to say, my mom had this one quality that I really remember and it meant so much to me, I want to try and pass it on to others, what would that be? Why don't you go first?
Okay, I have a very distinct memory of being in kindergarten, and we made a Christmas present for our mothers, which was a trash can that we used those big ice cream barrels to make our trash can. And I was so excited about my trash can for my mom. I rushed home one day from school, and I told her all about it. And then I realized I had just spoiled the entire surprise, and I was crushed, and I was crying. And she said, oh, honey, it's okay. I won't remember any of that when Christmas comes. And so sure enough, on Christmas, she acted all surprised, and it was a huge blessing. And I, of course, now I realize that she faked the whole thing, but still, it meant a lot that she was willing to do that. So I, you know, that was one memory that I thought, I want to be that kind of person that can make my children feel important and feel treasured like that. She was a very consistent person, and she brought a lot of consistency to my life, whether it was following rules or going to church. Everything that we did, she was very consistent, and I really wanted to pass that on to my kids.
My mom is amazing. She's a strong woman of faith. When I think of my mom, growing up, I remember seeing her read her Bible on a daily basis. She has a natural way of bringing God up in every conversation she has. We have a little joke in our family when we're shopping, usually at Ross or Marshall's, one of her favorites. We'd be like, "Where's Mom? Where's Mom?" And inevitably, she is in the restroom talking to a stranger about God. And recently came back from a trip in Fresno, and we stopped. It will forever be etched in my memories that we were at a truck stop. I walk into the restroom, and there my mom is holding a stranger's hand and praying for her. So that is something that I hope someday people will remember about me as well.
Okay. How about you guys?
I never questioned my mom's character, and she had a gift of making me feel like she was my biggest fan. Of course, she did that with my sisters, too, and so she always made us feel like we were all number one. Of course, I know I was the favorite, but that's something that will stick with me.
My mom has many talents, but the thing that really impacted me about my mother is that she was a very selfless mom. She would do anything for us. She would still do anything for us. She was always there for every single thing we ever did. And, you know, I have five brothers, so I have no idea how she got to all of our functions. But I do remember as a kid thinking, why does she like to take naps so much? And now I think I understand that. But my mom was a servant mom, and I really want to be better at that, more selfless.
Okay. Jamie?
My mom is an encourager, and she encourages everybody around her, but especially my dad, and I think that's really important. And you never find my mom disrespecting my dad in public. She always lifts him up just to be a better man, and I think he really rises to the occasion, and he's just a pretty incredible guy, and I think a lot of that has to do with my mom.
Okay. You know, none of us basically were perfect as we grow up, and our situations weren't perfect, but try to share with us some of the greatest challenges that you face as a mother, some of the things you're going through. Daddy, why don't you go first?
Okay. My biggest challenge, I have to be honest, is me. I am in kind of those heavy activity years, and I think by the same as a lot of you out there, I'm a busy mom. And the challenge for me is to remember that it's not just my job just to get through it. You know, we're in the process of developing three men of character who will hopefully love and serve God their whole lives. And so it's not something that I can just do without being intentional. And so for me, I think the busyness really robs me sometimes of my good intentions. You know, parenting is sometimes not convenient. You know that things happen at the worst possible time, and you have to deal with them. Last night, I was trying to kind of get ready for this and thinking about what I was going to say and all of that. And my son was a little upset because he didn't get to have a sleepover. And he just decided he was going to separate himself from the family. And, you know, I really didn't want to deal with it at that moment. But that's just one of those things. You've got to parent when you need to parent. And so that's the way, you know, through school, through all of their homework activities, we can really, you know, find out what's happening in their world and pay attention to those things, because as the kids get older, the clues to what they're thinking are just so much more subtle. And if we're not paying attention, when I'm just concerned about what's going on in my world, I miss that. I miss those things. So. Wow.
Chris, tell us your story.
Okay. Well, you just heard how wonderful my mother was, right? And Mother's Day is about honoring our mothers, but I'm going to tell you, with the challenge that I faced, Mother's Day in my life has been very painful at a certain point. I struggled with anger, with bitterness, with jealousy, to where I couldn't even bring myself to come to church. We moved into Phoenix 8 years ago, and I remember we came at Easter time, we fell in love with this church, and I can remember declaring the month of May, it's Mother's Day, you guys, I can't go to church. If you want to meet me at Lake Pleasant, please do. And my friends are awesome, and they met me there. But, you know, it's just been a transformation, a slow one. But God has done an amazing work in my heart. I think he's used the challenges from this stage of Dawn saying to us, please journal through your Bible. And I did, and I realized God made me for a purpose. He loves me. He cares for me. And I got to a point, I don't have this exact aha moment in my life, but I got to the point where I can say, Lord, I don't understand why, but I completely trust you.
Okay. Well, that's huge. Jamie, three little preschool girls. I'm sure you don't have any challenges, but if you did, what would it be?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you guys remember, it's an early... In the early 90s, there was a movie called Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Does anybody remember that movie? Is it just me? Well, essentially, if you've never seen it, the story is based upon a guy who repeats the same day over and over and over. And essentially, that's how I feel like my life is a lot of days. I have toddlers and a baby and a seven-year-old, and so a lot of my days are just diapers and dishes and cleaning, and repeat. Diapers, that's essentially how it goes. Where when I was in the corporate world, it was a lot different. You know, if I did a good job, there were people telling me, great job, or patting me on the back, or, you know, hey, I got a paycheck. That was reward enough. Whereas it's basically the exact opposite now. My baby is not going to look up at me and say, Mom, great job on that poopy diaper. Way to go. So that just doesn't happen. So I just really have to keep in mind that my perspective needs to be eternal. And I may have those groundhog days, but my job is to take these three little girls and see them grow up to be three women who are believers in Jesus.
Okay. Sue, anything outside of maybe marrying somebody else you would have done differently?
Well, I remember those preschool days well, and I've told you guys this before, that I spent a lot of time in the bathroom just crying and praying that God would get me through that day. But one thing that I think I did not do a good job of was communicating my pain to my husband, because he, at that time in our lives, he was doing a lot of traveling, and so I was doing a lot of single parenting with preschoolers, and parenting is a hard enough job with two of you working at it. When you got to do it by yourself, it's even harder, as some of you out there know. And unfortunately, God did not gift my husband with the ability to read my mind. I wish he would have, but he did not know that I was struggling as much as I was. And I think if I could go back, I would spend more time communicating that to him and telling him that I really was hurting and that I needed more help.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that. I think we were several years later, the kids were older, and we were someplace one time, and I shared about our marriage was great and how good she was when the kids were little, and she blessed me and said, basically, you don't have a clue. And and I go, what do you mean? You never told me, you know? And so I'm still trying to read her mind after 40-some years. But I would say to you ladies, if that's your situation, you got to tell. If you're married, you got to tell your husband, look, this is what's going on. This is what I'm going through. And guys, if you don't believe it's real, then I would say, ladies, just leave the kids with him for a day and go to the spa. And when you come back, he will read your mind. Yeah, he will realize, because you can only give him so much candy and so much sugar. You know, after a while, you got to start to spend time with him. And so that's huge. What would you have done differently? You know, we can go back and say, wow, if I had to make some changes, if I had to do it all over again, I'd have probably done this differently. What would you have done different?
I would have extended forgiveness to my ex-spouse much sooner. And I know that's a difficult thing to do, and it's something you have to work through. And ultimately, Scripture really got me through that. I journaled probably 13 journals filled of maybe anger and bitter and you know, depression, loneliness. But I know that in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate, forgive as God forgave you. Well, when you read that, it's kind of hard not to offer forgiveness. And, you know, forgiving is not forgetting. And how you can tell that you have forgiven is it doesn't hurt anymore. You can be comfortable around that person, and you can actually pray for that individual. You know, it's not easy, but it's something that I had to do to have a civil relationship with him for my kids. It wasn't about me. It was about my kids.
Wow. And so you had to let that go. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've been through that, too, with people that I feel like have wronged me. And I know when I'm getting better, when it doesn't hurt anymore, or I can see them without wanting to kill them. Okay. You're more spiritual than I am. I'm still working through that. Now I find out I need therapy, so this is really good. All right. Any others would have done differently?
Well, I know when our kids were teenagers, by the time we got to the third one, you know, I thought we kind of had it made and didn't pay quite as much attention. Like you said, you've got to always be paying attention. You can't ever stop parenting. You have to be tuned into their world because those clues do get a lot more subtle. And I think if I could do it over, I would be paying better attention in each one of their lives as they went through those difficult high school years.
Okay. What advice or encouragement would you give to the ladies, the mothers out here today? If you'd say, man, here's some encouragement, here's some advice. Daddy, go ahead. Go first.
My advice would be to let go of the supermom thing, to not be so concerned about perfection. I know I struggle with this, but, you know, there's so many voices out there telling us this is what you need to do. This is how you need to parent. And the truth is that we're comparing ourselves to the wrong thing. You know, there's only one voice that we ought to be listening to, and that's the voice of God, and that's in His Word. And, you know, I think that for me anyway, I find the tools that I need. I find the answers to what do I do with this situation. But more often than not, I find comfort. I remember a day when I just was yelling at my kids all day. I was yelling at them all day. And when I figured it out was we were driving in the car, and I was ranting away, and one of my kids said, "What's the matter with Mommy?" And I heard the other one go, "I don't know, she's crazy." And it hit me, like, what am I doing?
So she pulled the car over and let him out and let him walk home.
No, they were five. That would be bad. No, I went home, and the thing that I really did right, I think, is I opened my Bible. And when I did that, I landed on 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it says that we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. And you know what? It was like God just said to me, okay, today wasn't so great, but you bring me glory, and you're going to do it in an ever-increasing way from now on. And I needed to hear that day, and that just keeps me going. So, you know, let's be encouraged by God. Let's go there. Let's not go to the world for what they think we should be doing. Let's go and listen to the one voice that we need to listen to.
Awesome. Anybody else? Encouragement or advice?
I guess my biggest thing that I learned or encouragement that I can give is that early on, my oldest is 7 now, and when we first had her, it really threw me for a loop. And I poured everything I had into her, and I really neglected my husband on every level. I was just surviving day to day, and I had this big list of things to do, and he was at the very end. And sometimes, honestly, if I was real honest, he didn't even make my list. And that's really unfair to him. And really, at the end, it was hurting me as well as our child. And so I was lucky in that my husband, without criticism, recognized that. And he was the one that was proactive about scheduling weekends away, scheduling date nights for us, finding the babysitter, which I'm so grateful for. I know that I was caught in a trap of where culture really glamorizes pouring everything into your kids. And really, you get neglected and your husband gets neglected. And we were able to get that back on track, and I'm so grateful. And I think loving him makes me a better mom, and it makes me more balanced. And at the end, it makes them more secure in our relationship and in themselves.
You know, I see that a lot with families in the church, that you hear them sell stories, they can't come to neighborhood group, and I go, why? Well, our child is a year old, we haven't had a babysitter yet. or they've never been away for a date night, away from their kids for a year or 2 years. And that, again, that is tragic. What are some things that we work through on that, dear?
Well, I think we recognized early on that we didn't have much time together as a couple, and it was definitely affecting our relationship. So we made a conscious decision, an intentional decision, to make time for each other, just like Jamie was talking about. And we took a trip every year with just the two of us, and then another trip with our kids. And to be honest, the trip with the two of us most often was to like a church conference or something exciting like that. But still, it was our time away, and we looked forward to it. And sometimes we had to be creative about finding childcare because we were far away from our families and couldn't just call up mom and dad and say, "Hey, can you watch the kids?" So
yeah, that's why I think it's so important that you guys are involved in our neighborhood ministry and the neighborhood groups, because like us, we had no family out here, and some of you'd say, I don't have anybody to watch my child. Yeah, you do. You have trusted friends in your neighborhood group, and maybe they watch yours for a couple days. You can get away, and you can watch theirs. So that's where we can work together and everybody win in that. Any other advice or encouragement you would give?
I would say to single moms to make sure that, I mean, when you've gone through a divorce, it can be very painful, and you have a lot of feelings, and you need to work through all those feelings and get mentally healthy before you start dating. You need to be true to who God made you to be, not what you've become because of your life circumstances, because it does change you when you go through something like that. And it's like if you don't handle your emotions and feelings, you'll meet someone at the same level of your own dysfunction. And guess what? You're going to set yourself up for disappointment again because it's not going to work. Yeah. But what's more importantly is what it does to your kids. Now they see these people coming in and out of your life, and it's more rejection and there's more abandonment issues. So it's like, you really have to work through those emotions, whether through counseling or through Scripture. Mine was through Scripture. As I said before, it's like I have like 13 journals filled, and that really helped me a lot.
Wow. You know, I think Christian counselors will say that when you go through a divorce, you shouldn't, some of them would say you definitely don't get married for 2 years, and some would say you don't even date for a year or 2 years, so that you do heal emotionally and you don't bring the same baggage back into it. And I know so many Christians, many in the church, that they're out of one relationship and the next week they're into another one, and then they wonder why they're not healthy, and that's huge. Any other advice any of you would give?
Well, I'll chime in here.
Yeah.
Kind of have twofold advice here. If maybe you are a person that's in the same situation I'm in, and I would just really encourage you to get to that place of trusting God. And through, it's through reading your Bible and getting to know Him. And the second is for those of you that maybe have friends or family that are going through that. I really want to encourage you to just be that listening ear to those people. I kind of joke around. I wish I would have wrote a book on all the silly advice people have given me. I'm trying to think of something I can share, and I can't come up with anything, but a lot of articles were sent my way on different things, and it's just, all we need is someone to just listen, be a safe place that we can go and just talk, and to continue to pray for those people, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, I could not be here without the prayers of my family and friends.
Tell us about the person you talked to last night.
Yes, after services last night, I had a chance to talk with a young lady, and she was just in tears because she said, "Chris, when you said that about the advice, people giving you advice, I started bawling, because people, even though you're well-meaning and maybe have some good advice, it sometimes feels like a knife to the heart." And she's like, "I want to write the second book with you." So, but she just, she said, "Thank you for understanding, and you're the first person that's really ever told me exactly how I feel." So,
okay. Awesome. You know, one of the things we see with families today is this whole idea, I think, of competing, trying to stay up with everybody else, and so our kids are just involved in everything, and they're running nuts. And I think last week we shared about how we took our son out of competitive soccer and so on. What would you say? What have you done? Have you done anything to say, "Whoa, we're heading the wrong way here, and we need to reevaluate and make some adjustments"? To teenage daughters, I know they've been in dance and playing sports and everything. Any changes?
What we did is that one was in dance like four days out of the week, and they had soccer almost every night, and one had piano, and all I was a taxi driver, was wearing me out, and I think it was wearing them out. And, you know, I think they needed a chance to heal, too. So we stopped everything. I took them out of everything, and it's like we just focused and replaced it with some good family time. And so it was just working through all of our feelings, and I think it was just real healthy for all of us.
Good. Anything you've done, Daddy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm very thankful that I have a husband who understands that we need to limit those things, and that the family time is so important. But so we do limit the sports and the activities. But we've also been intentional about trying to create some memories within our family. And one of the silly things that we do is we have a pizza picnic every Saturday night. We throw out a big blanket in front of the television. We have our little pizza-shaped plates, and we sit there together and we have pizza every Saturday night. And it has been a huge blessing for our family. My kids love it. They will forego any other activities just so that they can be there for pizza picnic. So I think that's been a thing that's just really brought us together. And they want to bring their friends and...
That's great.
Yeah.
I think my wife and I learned a long time ago when somebody rocked my world, as I said, and said, "You realize you live a normal life, you got 15 Christmases left with your grandkids." And I go, "Whoa." And so we really decided after that to build memories and make memories instead of make money, because the money stuff is temporary, but the memories that you make, I mean, I grew up and we talk about all the things we grew up. It's the memories that we had with our family that was so huge. Let's take one more question. Your biggest spiritual challenge, because there's ladies out here trying to be super mom, trying to be super lady, trying to be everything. How do you keep grounded spiritually? What is the biggest spiritual challenge for you? Is it sharing your faith? Is it praying? Overcoming bitterness? Loving your husband? What would you say it is? What's your biggest spiritual challenge?
Well, I know for me, mine goes back to a story, and it's a little routine my daughter and I go through every night, and I read it somewhere, so I'm not super spiritual. I didn't make it up. And it just goes like this. Every night before I tuck her in, I say, "Carly, out of all the 7-year-old girls in the whole wide world that I could be a mommy to, I pick you. And God feels the same way about you. And no matter all the good things you did today and all the bad things you did today," and sometimes we go through those, "I love you just the same, and so does God." And what I hope is that, you know, she'll do, when she does some terrible thing and that she thinks is just totally unforgivable in high school or something like that, that she'll remember those words and she'll remember our time together. But what has been so profound for me is one night she rolled over. We went through that, and one night she rolled over and she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, God feels the same way about you." And I just, I was a little taken back. I'm like, "Oh, great. I think she was like 5. I'm like, my 5-year-old is teaching me spiritual wisdom. Great." And, but that night I prayed and I prayed, "Lord, you chose me to be their mom. And on the days that I feel totally inadequate and I let them down and let you down, as long as I'm seeking after you, you chose me for them and you don't make mistakes." And that's just been, you know, huge for me, that I remember on my toughest days.
That's awesome. That was too deep. Basically, when you're having those special days, you need to call Daddy and you go out for a ride together in her van, and she'll holler at you and then let you out. Okay. Anybody else? Your greatest spiritual challenge?
I would say my biggest spiritual challenge is probably my behavior. I talk the talk, but I have to walk the walk, and if I am to be Christ-like, I have to constantly be in check with what I say and how I act. With my girls, I'm a high D-type personality. I'm wound pretty tight, so it's like I have a very short fuse. I'm impatient. My tank when it comes to compassion and empathy is very low, and I had to learn to listen to my teenagers, and sometimes that's difficult for me, but it's like it keeps me, I have failed miserably, by the way, and I have had to ask them for forgiveness and that I'm sorry many times for my behavior.
Spiritual?
Yeah. I think for me, it's living unselfishly. I think in my situation, I can tend to look at myself a lot. And whereas I don't have children, it can be all about me. So Dan and I have been trying to be very intentional about what can we do to serve and use, how can God use our life in our situation. And a great example, I feel, of that is that we've been able to house interns. And that's just been such a joy to us, as well as maybe hopefully to influence these young kids in ministry.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Anything else you want to say, dear?
Well, I just, for me, it's like Chris, at this stage in my life, because I pretty much by myself all day, I can do whatever I want to do, and I can real easily become self-focused and self-indulgent. And
Mafia Wars.
Yeah.
Farmville.
Yeah. Add me. She's add me if you need a friend. No.
Yeah.
No, it's just.
She looks sweet, but she's a killer. Trust me. She'll get you.
Yeah. It is a challenge to be intentional about getting outside of yourself and realizing that your life is not about you. Your life is about God, and that you're here to bring glory to God. And so it's a challenge to remember that some days.
Awesome. So I just want to say to you, you women, you ladies, you mothers, we honor you. And I know sometimes at CCV you think, oh, they're trying to reach men. They don't care about me. That's not true. Okay? You are vital in this church. And your role is incredible, and people are watching you, and you can make a difference. And so we pray today that maybe as you've heard different stories, you've been able to identify with maybe one, and that will give you encouragement and hope to become all that God wants you to be. I'm going to ask my wife to kind of pray for all you you moms and you ladies, if you'd bow your heads. Honey, would you lead some prayer?
God, we are just grateful that you made a choice to create both girls and boys in this world, and we're thankful that you've created women with all the uniqueness that you did, that within your creativity you found things that would make each of us special, Lord, and I pray that you'll work in the heart of each woman here today, that she will recognize that you created her just like she is for a reason. And you love each and every one of us. And no matter how many disappointments or struggles that we have to go through in this life, that you are right there with us. That that this adventure that we walk on every day on this earth is not something we have to do alone. That you're holding our hand, and that you're guiding us, and that you're giving us strength and direction every step of the way. So we thank you for that. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your own son, that that he can bridge the gap between you and us, so that we can reach out and take your hand, that we can sit in your lap, and that we can feel your love. We thank you so much for that. And I just pray your blessing on all these ladies today, Father, that that they will know that you are there. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For you that are here today for the first time, our guests, we're honored that you're here. We have a free gift for you. If you'd stop out at the information center outside, there'd be someone that would love to meet you and give you a gift. Also, next week is our starting point, 12 o'clock to 3, free child care. But that's where, if you ask, where do I go in my spiritual journey? How do I find more about the ministry of CCV? That is designed for that. You can see in your program those that made those decisions through the last starting point. Also, one thing I want to remind you of, we have a huge participation in the summer. We have men's and co-ed softball. We do it through our neighborhoods. A great way to get your friends that don't go to church, get them involved in a softball team. We had about 100 teams here at the church last year. It's a great way to meet friends. I want to encourage you to sign up. If nobody's asked you yet, you can go out the information area and sign up, and they'll get you plugged in on a team. Next week, we begin a brand new series, so bring your Bibles. We're going to go through the book of James in 5 weeks, and we're going to talk about faith at work. How in the world do you take your faith into every area of your life and really make it happen and make a difference for Jesus Christ? Again, thank you for honoring your mothers by bringing them here for Mother's Day. Mothers, thank you for being here. Pray that God would bless you in every way. Have a great week. Bring a friend. We'll see you next week. Thank you.